Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Zion. We're going to pick up on Nun Vav Amud Beis with where we left off with the second to bottom line, quoting from our Mishnah. So we said a case of a Shlosha Achin, the Echad Mitzdarifim Mohen. So the case was as follows. We're dealing with trying to establish the three-year chazakah, that someone is in a field for 3 years, such that if they have a claim that they're entitled to it, whether by gift or by purchase, that they would, this would demonstrate, without producing a shtar, allow them to stay in place there. So, if you need 3 years of a chazakah, and what we said here was the case that was happening was that there was three sets. So first our mission was dealing with three sets of witnesses, one on each year. And then we added in the wrinkle that what happens if in these three sets of witnesses, one, there's three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, we said yesterday, that you have each of them is Reuven testifying on year one, Shimon on year two, Levi on year three. And then you have some other person, Yehuda, who's testifying on years one, two, and three. And so the point is that Reuven and Yehuda are year one, Shimon and Yehuda are year two, Levi and Yehuda are year three. And we said that this is interesting. It's kind of almost contradictory in a certain sense, but we said that they're considered separate edus, such that, and we're going to see this in more detail about how this works, but the idea that Krovim, brothers, cannot be witnesses together, right? So we're saying they're not together because they're each being made on a separate year. The way the Rashbam says it is what this one, or the Gemara actually, what this one is testifying on is not what the year this one is testifying on is not the year this one is testifying on. So we say, in that sense, they're separate. But yet, they combine to become a unit to prove chazakah, and they become a unit we discussed yesterday, and the Mishnah says that they're one edus for purposes of hazama. So that's the case we're going to deal with now for a couple of moments. So we bring the top of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to bring a case that on its face perhaps is comparable to our Mishnah. Hahu shtara, there was this shtar, and I think for this part, till the Mishnah, we'll try and do the Rashbam inside because it's a little complicated and it's probably very helpful to look at the Rashbam on this. Hahu shtara, davi chasimi ale beitre. So you had a shtar that was signed on it two witnesses. And we know that what is the purpose? How do you shachav chad minayu, one of them died. So you have shtaros. Now if someone wants to collect on a shtar, if the person contests it, or even sometimes if they didn't, they would go to Beis Din and they would get we've referred to it many times as a henpek. A henpek is some kind of seal or certification from the Beis Din saying that these signatures are valid. And the Poskim, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, they list five different ways that someone can validate a shtar. We're going to encounter some of them today. But one of the simplest ways to validate a shtar is that the two witnesses come and each of them says, yeah, that's my signature. That's generally enough, to certify the shtar. Now, one of the interesting questions you might ask is, well, why is it enough? We know, generally speaking, you need two edim. So why is it enough that each ed says on his own? And the point that the Rashbam is going to say, we'll see it inside, hopefully, he says that although each is only testifying on his signature, the point here isn't really to testify on the signatures. By certifying the signatures, you're testifying to the content of what's in there and what the loan that happened. So therefore, the two witnesses are retestifying, so to speak, by certifying their signatures on the core loan, not so much on their signatures. But in any event, so that would be a simple way to certify the shtar, is to bring in the two witnesses. But in this case, one of them died. So therefore, he's no longer capable of coming into Beis Din and certifying his signatures. So what do you do? So what you're going to do is you would bring in two other witnesses who would say that let's say the witnesses were Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven's here. He can come in and say, this is my signature. Shimon died. So Levi and Yehuda come in and say, that's his signature. Now the Rashbam points out that it can't be, and we're gonna talk about this in the Rashbam, but we'll say it outside first, that it can't be, let's say you have Reuven and Shimon were the signatories. So Reuven and Shimon were there together. So Reuven is a perfectly is a perfect person, you would think, to testify on Shimon's signature. So Reuven's here. He'll testify in his own signature. He also recognizes Shimon's signature because he was there. And so all you need to do is bring Levi. You don't need Levi and Yehuda. But we say that that doesn't work. Why doesn't that work? The reason it doesn't work is an interesting one, because we say apishnayim edim yakum davar, that something is established by two witnesses. And the way we understand that, we've encountered this concept before, is that the two witnesses have to have equal, in the sense that they each are 50% of the proof, right? So anytime you have two witnesses, each one is half. So the problem here is that if Reuven testifies on his own signature, so he's saying that's my signature, so then he's now being mechayev 50%, or he's accomplishing 50% of the testimony. But then if it's Reuven and Levi together to certify Shimon's signature, Reuven is now another quarter of the testimony. And you're going to end up that Reuven is three quarters of the testimony, and Levi's only one quarter. And that doesn't work, because they have to be evenly divided. So therefore, we're going to see this inside, but where do we leave ourselves? We leave ourselves that when two witnesses are around, the simplest way is they just both come and certify their signatures. If Shimon dies, you have to bring in Levi and Yehuda. You can't bring in Reuven and Levi, even though Reuven's capable of doing it, because he's going to end up giving three quarters of the testimony. So let's just see it inside quickly in the Rashbam. Hahushtara, that there was this document, Vahutzer Chamal Velakaimo, and he wanted to be able to collect on it, so he was being Mekayim the Shtar, he was certifying the Shtar. Shachel Chad Minayu, Mace Echad Mehen, one of them died. In our case, we said Shimon. Kodim Shiniskayim Ashtar, before they were able to get the henpeck put on the Shtar. The Ilulo Mace, had Shimon not died, Hayakol Echad Ba'u Meid Levado Achasimas Yado, each of them would have come in himself and testified on his signature. And we don't need to add another person. Reuven can testify in his signature. Shimon can testify in his signature. But they're each believed to say, this is my signature. Because it's not a parak base. The ksuvas, like we learned in ksuvas, zeh zek sav yadi, zeh zek sav yadi. The chachamim rami ain't tzirich l'tzarif imo acher. We don't need to bring in anyone else. They can each certify their own signature. El neman lamar is believed to say, zek sav yadi. Raminim Gemara, and we say in the Gemara, L'divrei Chachamim, Almanah Shebishtar, Hein Me'idin, Anachnu Re'inu Amilve V'chasamnu. So what the Rashbam is talking about now is saying, why is one aid enough? Because what he says, that when they're doing, when they're testifying on the Shtar, they're saying, Anachnu Re'inu Amilve, we saw the loan V'chasamnu, and we signed, Hilkoch betray Sagi. That's why it's enough with two, because they're not really testifying on their signature. By saying that that's their signature, they're testifying on the loan. And neither of them needs to testify on the other. It's enough that they each do it on their own. But now the Rashbam shifts. Vehecha the meis echad mehen, where one of them dies. Amrinan hasam alibid rabbanon. We say there in Ksubas according to rabbanon, the tzar shnayim min ashuk lahed achasimas yad hameis. So we need two people from the market, from the public, to come and testify. In our case, we said Levi and Yehuda. And Reuven testifies on his own hand. But Reuven cannot team up with Levi and accomplish this. To testify on the signature of on the dead person who's Shimon. Why? Since they're testifying that he owes $100 from the Shtar. V'chiyam rezek sav yadi, when this guy, Reuven, says, that's my signature, nafik palga de mamona apume. So 50% of the money comes on his say-so, on his mouth. Sharei hu levado meir achas himaso. So, because he himself is testifying on his own signature. Vein tzarech acher lahayidimo. He doesn't need anyone else to come with him. So therefore, he is being mechayev 50% of the cost, $50 out of this $100. V'chihadar mitzarech imahumin ashok. But if Reuven were to come and combine with Levi for purposes of testifying on Shimon's signature, he's taking another quarter of the money on his say-so. So ishtakach, you find out that the kula mamona nafe riva, that the entire value minus a quarter, meaning three quarters of the value, nafek apume, comes out on the basis of Reuven's testimony.
Vanan al pishnayim edim ba'inan chatzi davar al piv shalzeh v'chatzi davar al piv shalzeh. We know that you need half to come from each witness. V'helkach hacha d'shachachad minayo. And therefore, in this case, where one of them dies, Shimon, in our case, ein edachai yachol etzdarif imachir min ashok. Reuven cannot combine with Levi leheirach hasimas yada meis to testify about Shimon's signature. El tzarich shnayim min ashok leheiralav. We need two from the public to testify on it. Why did I go through all of that? Because we're going to see that these principles are going to come into play for purposes of what we're going to talk about right now. Now we have this case. There was the shtar, and there was two of them were signed on it. Shimon died. Reuven's here. So now we just finished saying we need two witnesses to come, Levi and Yehuda, to testify on Shimon's signature. So who comes along? Also, Achue the Haidekai, the brother of the one who's still alive, meaning Reuven. So it turns out that Levi is Reuven's brother, right? V'chad Achrenu, and another, So the brother Levi comes along with another person, Yehuda, to testify on Shimon's signature, right? So now what is the problem here? What's the potential problem? The problem is that you now have two brothers testifying on the signature. Why? Because Reuven's testifying on his own signature, and Levi, who's Reuven's brother, is testifying together with Yehuda on Shimon's signature. So you now have Reuven and Levi, who are brothers, testifying on the same matter. Now, ordinarily, that's a problem. But Sava Ravina Lameima, Ravina wanted to say that Hainu Masnisin, Gimel Achim, Ve'echad Metzdarif Imoyen. He says this should be allowed. Why? Because we saw in our Mishnah that if each of the witnesses are testifying about something different, right? Then, even though it's the same category, even though we had three brothers testifying on the 3 years of Chazakah, they were each testifying on a different year, and their testimony didn't overlap. So we're going to say now that Reuven is testifying on his signature. That's one matter. Levi and Yehuda, Levi being Reuven's brother, are testifying on the second signature. That's a different matter. They're related, but so too is it related in the 3 years of Chazakah in our Mishnah, and therefore that should be permitted. So that's Ravina's thought. Amrle Ravashi. Ravashi didn't like this comparison to our Mishnah. He said, "Me dummy, are they similar? Hasam lo nafik nachi revia de mamona pume da achi, hacha nafik nachi riva de mamona pume da achi." He says, there, in the case of our Mishnah, 75% of the money did not come on the basis of one brother, but here, 75% of the money is coming on the basis of one brother. So, how is this understood? So I'm going to say it outside, and maybe we'll again look at the Rashbam to see it inside, to really get it right. But in other words, what we're going to say is as follows. The way the Rashbam understands the mechanics of brothers not being able to testify is that when brothers testify, they're considered like one witness, right? So, if you have two brothers who come along and testify, I saw whatever it is, right? What's the problem with that testimony? Is that we look at the two as if they're one, and if you're only one aid, that's not a valid testimony, right? So now, what happens in the case in our Mishnah, we had each of the brothers testifying on Reuven on year one, Shimon on year two, Levi on year three, then Yehuda was testifying on all three. So if you lump the three brothers together, and you consider them one witness, right? So it still works, because Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are one witness. They're testifying that they know collectively that he was in the field year 1, 2, and 3. And Yehuda is testifying he was in the field year 1, 2, and 3. So it's perfect. Out of these four witnesses, you end up with two. One is the brothers, is one witness, and they say all 3 years. And one is Yehuda, and he says all 3 years. So that's fine. So how much are they each being Mechayev, each of these two witnesses? Being Mechayev, 50%. He says, but in this case, where we're going with the brother who's related. So what happens? We have Reuven who's testifying on his own signature, and then we have Reuven and Levi who are brothers testifying on Shimon's signature. But if we think about it now, if we lump Reuven and Levi together and consider them one person, So then how much is that person testifying? He's testifying on 75% of the value. Because Reuven's doing 50% of his own, right? And then he's half of the other half, so another quarter. So when we lump them together into one aid, they're becoming 75% of the money. And that's why Rav Ashi says it's not a valid comparison that Ravina is making to our Mishnah, because our Mishnah ends up with the brothers being, that is 50-50, the Edim. And this ends up being 75-25. So we'll look quickly in the Rashbam. Asa achui dahaik dekoi. Echov shal eir achai balit starif im echod men ashok. That the brother of the living witness, meaning Levi, who's the brother of Reuven, comes to combine together with another person from the Shuk, Yehuda, Leheir al Chisimaso, to testify on the signature, Kedepricious, like I explained, the Tzar Shnaim in Ashuk, Leheir al Chisimaso, the Ido Chameis. Because you need two from the Shuk, meaning Reuven cannot testify on it himself. So now you brought Levi and Yehuda. The only problem is that Levi is related to Yehuda. So Ravina said, Hainu Masnisen, the Afa gav the Shnei Achim Psulun Leidus Achas, that even though two witnesses cannot testify together on one thing, the lo chashivi ela kechad, because those two witnesses are considered to be a single witness, that's why two brothers can't testify on something. Afilo hachi, nonetheless, in our Mishnah, machshir elhu masnisin l'shlosha achim be'edos kaka echad, but yet our Mishnah allowed three brothers to testify on one piece of land, me'achar she'ein zem me'ed al oso shana she'zem me'ed, because they never testify on the same years. Afkan, so therefore, just like you see that in our Mishnah, because they're testifying on separate aspects of it, that they're all allowed. Afkan ha'ed achai me'ed al chasima shelo. So to here, we should say Reuven can testify in his own signature. Ve'echov and his brother, achasimas yarameis, his brother will be testifying on a different aspect, which is Shimon's signature. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, no, it's not comparable. Hasam bin masnisin there in the Mishnah, lo kanafik kolamom, and the entire money doesn't go out. Nachi riva minus a fourth, meaning three quarters, chasa revi, missing a fourth. Dahainu shlosher schalokim mamon apume the achai, because you have three quarters of the money are not coming from on the mouth of the brothers. Elapalgo hu denafik apume because in that case, in the Mishnah, you have 50% coming on the aid nachri, meaning Yehuda, and 50% coming on the aid, that's the combination of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And therefore, they're kosher to this aid. This is the time of the Pasuk Rachmana Krovin Be'edos. Because when the Pasuk says that relatives can't testify, is because Be'edus Achas, and one testimony, Lefisha Enu Chashuvim, because they're Lefisha Enu Chashuvim, Ela Ki'ish Echad, because they're only treated like one person. Ulegabe Cheska Shadal Shanim Ki'ish Echad Damu, and that's why in the case of the Mishnah, they're treated as one witness. Shari Ish Acher Shemetzarifi Moyim Mo Beshloshton Imra Achazaka Shadal Shanim, because Yehuda, the Eid Nachri, can combine with them because he saw all 3 years, and they collectively saw all 3 years. But here, in the case of the shtar, that Reuven is testifying in his own signature, and Levi and Yehuda are testifying on Shimon's signature, we're ending up with 75% of the money is apume da'achi, is coming on the basis of the brothers, because Reuven and Levi combined to be one. And if when we lump the two brothers together, Nimtza eight echod magbe shalosha chalokim, the echod revia. So what's ending up happening is the combination of Reuven and Levi as brothers are one witness and they're collecting 75% of the money. Velo karina pishnaim edim. We don't consider that a case of two edim. So that's how the Gemara is saying. We thought that it should be comparable to our Mishnah. Rav Ashi says, no, it is not. Okay. The Mishnah. Nunzai namen alef. Elu dvarim sheyesh lahem chazaka. Interestingly, the Rashbam brings two opinions about how to understand this. He brings from the Rabbeinu Chananel that this is really saying that this beginning of this Mishnah is basically saying, yeah, everything we've been talking about till now, these are the things that make a chazaka or don't make a chazaka. The Rashbam pushes back strongly against that and he says, no, we're going to establish new matters still talking about this matter of chazaka of 3 years. So what are the things that make a chazaka or don't make a chazaka? We're going to start with things that don't. That if someone was put his animal in a chatzer, and the Rashbam explains that initially we're understanding this to mean, you know, I come along to Ari's courtyard and I put my animal there. Or taner, rechayim, v'kirayim, or I put an oven, or rechayim is a mill, kirayim is a stove. So I put my stove in his courtyard. Umagadol tarnagolim, or I start to raise my chickens in his courtyard. V'nosin zvaloi b'chatzer, where I stick my manure, fertilizer in his chatzer. So in all these things, ain't a chazaka. It's not a chazaka. Why? Because people kind of live with the idea that I could come in his field and put these things there. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, well, which kind of people are those? We don't know those people who don't mind those people coming in. So we'll see about that. Aval asa, so that is not a chazaka. Aval asa mechitza lebehemto, gavoh asar tvachim. But if I come in and I say, not only am I going to take Ari's chatzar, I'm going to make my own section of the chatzar, and I'm going to put up a wall. So then, that's no good. V'chein l'taner, v'chein l'kirayim, v'chein l'rechayim. Similarly, if I put a wall up, not for my animal, but for my oven, or my stove, or my mill, or hichnis tarnagolim l'toch habayis, and I don't just bring my chickens into his yard, I bring them into his house. V'asam makam l'zvalo amok shlosha, gavoa shlosha, I make like a permanent thing for my fertilizer. I dig a pit and I fill it with fertilizer, or I build up a little wall, like maybe like a fire pit, and fill it with fertilizer. In those cases already, that's too much of a chutzpah. Harezu chazaka, that's a chazaka because people are going to protest. So that's how we're going to understand the Mishnah initially, is that these things that, just to bring them in, people can live with it. But, if you're going to do it already in an established way, you're going to put up walls, you're going to go into his house, you're going to put up a manure enclosure, that's not acceptable. And because it's not acceptable behavior, if he does it and does it for 3 years, that would be a valid chazaka. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. So now the Gemara wants to know, Mishnah Reisho, Mishnah Seifa. I don't get it. Which person is going to be okay with me coming into his field and raising chickens or putting manure? They'll say, get out of here. So what's the real difference between the first case and the second case? Is most people would protest either one. So Amr Ula says, yeah, no, the way you understand this is, a technical matter. Kol she'ilu b'nechse ager kana b'nechse chavero kana. Kol she'ilu b'nechse ager lo kana b'nechse chavero lo kana. So he says as follows, that what we look at is, what enables someone to acquire nechse ager. We've been talking about this for a long time now. The idea that if a ger dies, and he didn't have children subsequent to his conversion, that anyone can come along and take his field. And we said that to take his field, you have to do a kinyan, you have to do a chazaka. Generally speaking, we've understood that chazaka has to be something that improves the land, that actually accomplishes something. So what we're saying is as follows, that if it is the type of behavior that would suffice to acquire the property of a ger, then that is behavior that would bother someone such that he would protest. If it is insufficient to acquire the property of a ger, then it's not going to bother someone enough that they're going to care, and therefore you cannot establish the chazaka. Because it's something, if a guy can claim, yeah, I didn't care, what do I care if you bring your chicken in? So if he can validly claim that, there's no chazaka. So what we're now saying, Ula is saying, is there's a connection between those things that constitute. Now, if you remember, on Daf Mem Beis, we had the Mishnah where we were talking about, where we really separated. So we've been talking about 3 years. Now we're talking about chazaka on doing an acquisition in a field. And we said there are two different things. Ula is now combining them. He's saying, no, those are one and the same. So therefore, if I bring in an oven into Ari's chatzar, right? I haven't improved the chatzar. I haven't enhanced it. I haven't done anything. All I did is I brought in an oven. So therefore, that would not be a case where it would bother the owner, and therefore it's not a basis for chazaka. But if I stick up a wall for my oven, then already I'm enhancing the field. I'm creating a structure. So then that would be a case that an owner would object. And therefore, if the owner doesn't object, you can establish a chazaka. So that's, Ula is basically saying that the laws of chazaka of 3 years are parallel to the laws of chazaka of acquiring and the way you would take it from a ger, and therefore they're parallel. If you could take it from the ger, then it's a real act, and therefore if the guy doesn't protest, you can make a chazaka. If it doesn't suffice to take it from the ger, then it's not going to bother the owner, and it's not going to be the basis of a chazaka. But Maskif la Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, and the Rashbam brings you, there's other things you can ask, but Maskif la Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, he asks a question, he says, V'klalahu, are you telling me that's the rule? But that contradicts many things that we've learned over the last few weeks. V'hare nir, the benichse ager kana, benichse chaver lo kana. He says, what about plowing, right? So he says, we know that in nichse ager, if a ger died and you want to acquire his field, what did we say you have to do? You could take a shovel and you do one little dig and you acquire the field. So for sure, if you plow the field, in nichse ager, you're going to acquire the field. But yet we learned, benichse chaver lo kana, that we learned that if someone just plowed, remember we talked about this, you plow 1 month, and then you have the year, and then you have another month, that's 3 years, we talked about it, but what do you also have to do? You also have to plant in between. You have to plant, and you have to take the thing. If all you do is you come 3 years in a row and plow his field, the guy says, thanks very much, and then he plants his own seeds, you didn't do anything because all you did is plow. So yet, you see by nichse ager, if you plow, you acquire it. And yet, by chazaka for 3 years, if you plow for 3 years, it doesn't give you chazaka. Similarly, v'hari achilas peros, also eating the peros, the benichse chavero kana, benichse ager lo kana. That what did we say? We said, for example, Rashbam chooses to bring the case. I mean, we dealt with this many times about peros. The Rashbam brings the case, if you remember, that if you cut the tree, we said if you trim it all the way around, then you're doing it for the tree. If you're doing it just on one side, you cut off all the branches. We said that's bad for the tree, right? And therefore, why are you doing it? You're doing it because you want firewood. You don't care about the tree. So what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said that's like taking peros. So therefore, picking peros in someone's, and we had it with the deco, we talked about according to some Gersos that it was picking the dates. We determined that for purposes of acquiring the property from a ger, picking the fruits is not enhancing the property. That's for you. That's not for the property. So that did not work for purposes of nechse ager. But for purposes of chazaka, of establishing 3 years, that was considered the ultimate case. If you go into a guy's field 3 years in a row and you steal his fruits and he doesn't protest, that's a perfect chazaka because you say, which normal owner would allow me to come in for 3 years and take his fruits? So therefore, if Shesha says, this doesn't work. You cannot understand the way Ula did, that there's a parallel between chazaka of 3 years and chazaka of kinyan. Going back to what we said from the Mishnah on Mem Beis, they're totally separate things. They're called the same thing. It uses the same word chazaka. That's just to confuse us and keep us on our toes. But really, they're separate. And that we're going back to that. So therefore, Rav Sheshes tried to link them. Ula tried to link them, and Rav Sheshes came back and said, no, they're not linkable. Okay. So Ella Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bar Avua. So Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Bar Avua, Hacha b'chatzar hashutfin naskinon. That, okay, so forget it. So remember back to our original question. We were like, who on earth is going to let someone just come in, and do this? So Ula was trying to say it's a technical matter. We said that technical matter doesn't work. So now we're back to our question. Why? What makes you think that Ari would protest if I put up a wall for my animal, but he's not going to protest for my bringing the animal in the first place? So we say, okay, because we're not talking about me, a stranger, walking into Ari's field. Rather, we're talking about where Ari and I are partners. What does it mean to be partners in a chatzar? Most people are in a chatzar are partners because we each have a house and we have the courtyard part. And that part we use jointly. Now, Rashbam points out, what is that used for? That's used for, you come and you go. By and large, you don't stick things in the chatzar because you need to come and go. You need to do things. But yet, if I stick up my oven, this is how we're going to understand this territory. If I put my oven in the chatzar, Ari looks at me, he's like, whatever. I don't know why you need to stick your oven in our chatzar, but if it's going to bother me in the future, I'll let you know, right? So therefore, it doesn't bother him that I put my oven because, again, he can always change it later. So that's not a valid chazaka. But if I stick up a wall, right, he's going to protest. And if he doesn't protest, then that shows that we agreed, either he gave it to me or I acquired it. So that's how we're understanding. We're talking about a chatzar. We're talking about a chatzar that belongs to partners. The Bahamada Kedi Lokapti. Because on just sticking a behema there, or sticking an oven there, or raising a chicken there, people aren't makbid on each other, and therefore, if they're not going to be makbid on each other, I could do it for 10 years. It doesn't create a chazakah, because maybe he's just a nice guy. A mechitza kapti. But people do, would object if I stick up a wall. I'm sorry, but people would argue on a wall. So now the Gemara asks the question as follows, and says, Ubahamada kedilo kapti. Is it true that partners aren't going to get upset? Ari's not going to mind if I start raising my chickens in our joint chatzer. Vatanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Hashutvin, we learned in the Dharm, Hashutvin shenadru hanazemizeh. You had two partners, they were partners in a chatzer or in a field, and we got in a fight, and we each said, I don't know, punish ourselves, I'm not going to have any hana from you. So you now have two partners that they're joint partners, and they said they're not going to have hana from each other. Asurin likanes lechatzer. That they're not allowed to come into the chatzer. Why? Because when Ari and I are partners in a chatzer, there's no assumption that this part of the chatzer belongs to him and this part of the chatzer belongs to me. The whole chatzer belongs to both of us, right? And so therefore, so why is this a kasha? So we're saying the way the Rashbam wants to understand, although maybe if we have time later, we'll talk about a little more nuance in this, but the way the Rashbam understands is that if partners don't mind when people, when their partner goes around the chatzer and does things, right? So then, essentially, what's the mechanism of my not minding Ari doing things in the chatzer and him not minding what I do in the chatzer? Is that I'm mafkir my ownership to Ari for purposes of his walking around the chatzer. That's the mechanism by which partners don't mind each other doing something, right? So now, if I'm mafkir my field for purposes of, or my chatzer for purposes of Ari walking in there, right? So then it's not mine. And if it's not mine, the fact that Ari has said, I'm not going to get Hana from Yehuda, is not impacted. He could still walk in this chatzer. Why? Because I was mafkir the chatzer to him for purposes of his walking. He was mafkir his part of the chatzer to me for purposes of my walking. So therefore, when I'm walking in the chatzer, it's not that I'm being nana from him. I'm not using his thing because he was mafkir it to me, right? So that's how the Rashbam understands it, that the mechanism by which partners can go without impeding the other because they're mochel is because they were mafkir it. Now, when does that happen? That only happens if partners don't mind, right? So if partners truly didn't mind, then even when they were muder hana from one another, I would still be able to walk because it's hefker. It's not his. It's mine. It's hefker. So from the fact that we say that they cannot walk, it must be that it's not hefker. So it's not hefker. It means that partners don't let each other just walk in a chatzir, right? And so they're not mafker. So what do you see? You see that partners don't even let each other walk in a chatzir. They're not giving up any rights in the chatzir to even let the guy walk. So if that's true, how can you tell me that partners don't mind if I stick up my oven, if I stick up the thing? So it's saying, is it true that even for regular actions like sticking my oven without a wall, that they don't mind? If they mind people walking, they for sure mind people sticking an oven there. So the Gemara is questioning, how could you say that partners don't mind when I do these actions as long as I don't do it with a wall? So Ella Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Hacha Berchava Shalachure Abatam Askinon. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the street or the area behind the houses, so the alley or backyard, something like that, that we're talking about that. The Bahamada Kedi Lo Kapti V'Amechitza Kapti. So it's saying, you're right. In a chatzer, as we see from the case of Nedarim, people are not mafkir their thing to their partner. They're not letting the partner do anything because they're saying, look, this is my chatzer. I need to come and go. I can't have your oven sitting around on my floor. So Enochinami, partners are not mochel their property to the other for purposes of coming and going. And therefore, when we're mudar hana from one another, we cannot go. Where is it that partners don't mind? Because the backyard or the alley. Because what do? You throw all your stuff in the alley, whatever. It doesn't bother you if he sticks an oven there. Technically speaking, it's our joint chatzer, but okay, you want to stick your oven there. If you're going to stick up a wall, that's a problem. So that's the first answer that we're going to give. Now, just to be clear, according to this, if Ari and I had our front chatzer and we had our backyards, right? If we're mudar hana from one another, neither of us can go into the chatzer. Why? Because the chatzer is owned by each of us, and I said I'm not having hana from him. Hana includes walking in his chatzer. But we would be able to each walk in the backyard because people are not makbid on each other for the backyard. And therefore we are mochala to each other. And then even if we're mudar hana, one from another, you can still walk there because they were mochala to each other. But in any event, that's answer number one to the question of how you square. In other words, we set up, and just to keep track of what we're doing here, we set up the case in our Mishnah is talking about partners. We ask from the case in Nedarim, and we're saying, the first answer we're saying is, you're right, Nedarim would prove, so it has to be that in our Mishnah, we're talking about partners in a backyard or an alley, we're not talking about partners in a chatzar. Second teretz, or Papa Omer, Papa says, idi b'chatzar or shutfin. They says both the case of the Mishnah in Nedarim, as well as the case in our Mishnah, which is dealing with a chatzar, are both talking about a chatzar of shutfin. So then the question is, well, why does the Mishnah and the Darim seem to imply that partners don't let each other do anything? And the Mishnah over here in Bava Basra seem to say partners don't mind as long as you don't stick up a wall. So the Gemara says as follows, v'ikka de kapti, v'ikka de lo kapti. There are some people who mind, and there are some people who don't mind. So there's a range of feelings on this. That's, some partners are very liberal with one another, and some partners are very illiberal. And so, that's the issue. So we say, okay, but in other words, so what? How do you know which one this guy is? So we're saying, we don't really. Any individual partner might fall into the more strict partner category or the more lenient partner category. So why do we end up with two different halachas that here we say, partners don't mind if I stick an oven in the chatzer versus in the darim, we say they don't even let each other walk there. We're saying is gabe mimona lekula, gabe isura lechumra. So essentially what we're saying is it's a suffix. Am I, when I stick the oven in Ari's chatzer, is he the kind of guy who minds or he doesn't mind? We don't really know. So what does it become? It becomes a suffix. So we say that when we're dealing with money, what's the case of money? We're talking now about property rights. When Ari and I have our chatzah, we're trying to figure out property rights. So that, in a case of mammon, we're gonna go lakula. Lakula means that we're gonna assume that people allow each other to do things. If they allow each other to do things, then that's not a valid basis for a chazakah. So we're saying we assume that in a monetary context, people are like the partners who don't mind. Right? And that's why we're gonna paskin that does not form a basis for a chazakah. Because a guy could validly claim, the reason I let you stick your oven there is because I'm a nice kind of guy. I'm not a difficult partner. So in a case of monetary transactions, we'll assume that. And that's why our Mishnah will say it's not the basis for a chatzer. It's not the basis for a chazaka because partners don't mind. Gabe Yisura, but when we're dealing with Nedarim, which is an issue of Lo Yachel Devaro, that once I make a nether, I'm not going to be Nena from Ari. So then it's a question of, it has nothing to do with what he thinks. It has to do with halakhically. So then we're going to say that there we go lechumra, and we're going to say that partners cannot walk. So we're agreeing in either case, it could very well be this particular partner minds or doesn't mind, but it depends. If we're talking about a monetary thing, we're going to say we assume they don't mind. If we're going to talk about a isser, we're going to assume they do mind. So that's how you explain the distinction between Nedarim and here. But again, we're establishing the case to be a case of chatzar of shutfin. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Le'olam lo kapti. That really, people don't mind. Going back to what we said before, we're going to assume that sticking an oven in a chatzar, I don't mind. You know, Ari doesn't mind. He minds if I stick up a wall. That he minds. So we're going back to our original understanding. Now the Gemara's initial question was, what's the difference between Reisha and Seifas? Who doesn't mind? We say, people don't mind. The fact is, they don't mind if I bring in a tarnagol. They mind if I bring it into his house. He doesn't mind if I bring it into the chatzar. So then what did we ask? We asked, well, what do you see? You see from the Darim that they do mind because they don't even let each other walk in their chatzar. And that's why when they're mudar anah, they're not allowed to go. So we're going to explain the Mishnah in the Darim is according to a different viewpoint. V'hamani, who's the Mishnah in the Darim? Rabbi Elazar, he is Rabbi Elazar. The Sanya, because we learned on the Brisa, Rabbi Elazar, Armin Rabbi Elazar says, Afilu Vitor, Asar b'mudar b'hana. The Vitor, someone who does Vitor, that when they're mudar hana, they cannot have it. What is vitor? We've learned this concept. This is basically a baker's dozen, right? I walk in, I buy a dozen bagels. How many do they give me? 13. 13, right? So why? Because you throw in a 13th bagel. You have 100 nuts, you throw in a couple extra, the way the Rashbam explains it, right? So now, this is something that the seller does to everyone, Right? So according to the Rabbanan, that's not a problem. Even if I say I'm not going to get hana from you, that 13th bagel is not a problem, because why? That 13th bagel is really part of the price. Why? Because I do it with everyone. And the proof, the Rashbam says, if I walked into the store and said, I don't want the 12 bagels, I'll just have the 13th bagel, they'll kick you out. Right? Because they're only giving it to you because you bought it, so it's part and parcel. But Rabbi Eliezer says, no, if I buy 12 bagels and you give me a 13th, I'm getting hana from you. So we see Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's very machbid that you can't have any form of hana. So really, our Mishnah is talking about a chatzar of shutfim. And we say that shutfim don't mind if you put an oven, they mind if you put a wall. Ah, you'll ask me, what about from the Darim? You see partners are machbid on each other? Say, no, that's Rabbi Eliezer, who's super machbid in the Darim, that you can't even have vitor. So too, you can't even walk on each other's chatzar. But that would not be the viewpoint of our mission that's unique to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Banoi. Bakol shutfin ma'akvin zeh chutz min ha'kvitza. She'in darkin shal b'noi Yisrael is bazaz hal ha'kvitza. So this is a very interesting Gemara is coming up, and unfortunately we're not going to have time to spend too much time on them, but here's what he says. Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Noi. He says that partners, generally speaking, can object to any use of the chatzar other than coming and going. Meaning if I stick my oven there, Ari could say stop. I stick my chicken there, he could say stop, right? There's one thing that he can't stop me from doing. Actually, me is a question in the Rishonim about a man. But a woman, he's saying a woman is allowed to wash clothing in the chatzar. Why? She ain't darkened shall benos Yisrael is bazas al kvisa. Because women don't want to, or we don't want them to, wash clothes in the river. Why? Because how do you wash clothes in the river? You wade into the river, and you end up hiking up your skirt or your clothing, and it reveals the woman's thigh or legs. The poskim spend a lot of time talking about exactly what can or can't be covered, but in any event, it's not sneis, it's not modest for them to go in the river, and therefore Chazal said, I don't care, I let you protest everything going on in the chatzar, you cannot protest a woman washing clothes in the chatzar, because we'd rather that she wash her clothes in the chatzar than that she go into the river and do it. Okay. So that's a halacha. Now we say, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, V'otzim einov meros bera, that says, it says, holech tzedakos v'dover meisharim, it goes through different things, and so it's saying people who go in tzedek, and they speak proper things, so it praises someone at the end of the pasuk. It says, V'otzim einov, someone who closes his eyes, meros bera, from seeing something bad. That's a praise. So we say he's saying, who's this person that we praise him as being someone who averts his eyes and doesn't look at something bad? Is someone who's walking by the river, he sees the women in there washing their clothes, and he doesn't look at their whatever is exposed of them. So the Gemara wants to know, hechi dami. The way the Rashbam understands it is saying, like, I don't get it. You're saying he's not a tzaddik, he's not a rasha. Exactly what is he doing here that makes him neither a tzaddik nor a rasha? If there's a different way that he could have walked, where he's not going to see the women in immodest way, rasha who? He's a rasha. If there's no other way, and this is fascinating, anusu. And the Rashbam says, it says, like, look, at the end of the day, if this is the only way to walk, he's gonna look. So that's an onus. So what do you want from him? So we say, so what is anus, and why would we expect him not to look, that we're saying you should try not to look, is the pasuk saying. So we say, la'olam deleka darka achrita. Really, we're talking about there is no other way. So if I would channel my inner Rabbi Silver, he would say that, look, sometimes it's tough. Suck it up and do it anyway. You gotta be careful. You gotta look away, even if it's very hard. So that's what you see from this Gemara that says, even if you have to walk by, make sure you look away. Even if it's very hard to look away, you still have to. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Banoi, Chalak shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad. How should you have, what exactly is the nature of a garment of a Talmud Chacham? So we say, anything that you can't see his flesh beneath it. The way the Rambam understands this is talking about It should be a thick garment so that people can't see any part of his flesh. Many of the other Rishonim understand it, including the Rashban, that it's talking about how long his talus is. His coat should be that basically it should go to the floor so you don't see his bare feet. They ask, tell me the Chacham don't go in their bare feet. They say it could be in the land of Yishma'elim where they do. It could be Yom Kippur. It could be Tisha B'Av. There's reasons why they might be barefooted, and the point is that their clothes should go down to the floor so that you don't see their feet when they're barefoot. Talus shel Talmid Chacham Ketzad. Talis of a Talmud Chacham, the way the Rashbam understands it, is talking about like an outer garment that goes on top of the chaluk, and that has to be not quite as long, but we say, koshen chaluko near mitachtov tefach. That's something that when he puts on his outer garment, that it should cover the inner garment, that chaluk that we were just talking about, that you don't see, so the chaluk goes down to the floor, and he's saying the outer garment can go up to a tefach above the floor. That's the way they're understanding it. So therefore, that's how the talus should work. Okay? Shulchan shach Talmud Chacham Ketzad. If you have a table of a Talmud Chacham, what does this table look like? And this is fascinating stuff. We don't have time to dwell on it. Shnei shlishe gedil v'shlish galoy. He's saying as follows. 2/3 of it, gedil is basically, comes like from a lashon of aruga of woven. It's a tablecloth. So the way it worked is they had a long table, and people would sit along this side of the table, and they would have 2/3 of the table would be covered by a tablecloth. Rashbam says they used to use it as like a napkin, and then the food would be on the third part of the table. I'm sorry, I was going this way. So you have 2/3 covered with a tablecloth, and that's where the people sit. And then they reach over the tablecloth and they take the food, but you don't keep the food on the tablecloth, because you might spill the food on the tablecloth. If you spill the food on the tablecloth, people aren't going to want to use it as a napkin and clean themselves. So that's how they understand it, 2/3 and 1/3. Va'alav, and on the part, the 1/3 is ka'aras, the yerek, are plates and vegetables. Okay. Now it continues, v'tabato mibachutz. And the tabas is from the chutz. So what is this talking about? That basically what used to happen is, the tables in the time of the Gemara was they set up like a folding table, right? And when, they didn't have big houses, so what did they do? When they weren't eating, they would fold up the table and they would hang it on a hook. So in order to hang it on a hook, there was a ring that was permanently in the table, and that's what they would hang it on the hook from. So they says that when we're eating, we have this long table, everyone sits here, then you have 2/3 covered with a tablecloth, you have 1/3 not covered with a tablecloth, and then you have the hook. So the hook is facing, is on the side where the people are not sitting. The Gemara says, "V'atanya tabato mibufnim," but we learned that the ring should be inside, next to me, like where I'm sitting. Should be up against my stomach. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha hadeka yinuka hadaleka yinuka." He says, in an ideal world, you would keep it inside. Why? So that the shamish, the waiter, doesn't get caught. In other words, he's walking along here putting food. He doesn't want to get caught on the rings. But let's say, so therefore, you should do it on the inside where people are sitting. But let's say someone has a kid on their lap, and it's kind of like you see the thing where the kid drags off the whole tablecloth. Well, here he takes the ring and pulls it, and the whole table is going to collapse. So therefore, if he has a little kid with him, you put the ring on the outside, even though it bothers the shamish. But if you don't have a little kid, you try and take care of the shamish and do it inside. We're not talking about where he has a kid. So where there's a shamish, there's a waiter who's working, you want to keep it on the inside because you don't want to cause him as he's going up and down the table. You're sitting, he's moving, you don't want to cause him to trip on these or to hit himself on these rings, so you do it inside. But if there's no shamish, meaning people are serving themselves, then why should they have to sit there with a ring in their gut? Let it be on the other side. Another teretz, that we're talking about where there is a shamish and still it's no kasha, one is during the day and one is during the night. So if it's a daytime meal and the shamish, and we let the ring be on the outside, what about the shamish? It's daytime, he could see it. But if it's nighttime and we're just dealing, I guess, candlelight, it's not as easy to see the ring, so then we don't want to let the shamish hit himself on the ring, so we say the ring is on the inside part of the seating next to where I am sitting and eating. Okay, too bad we couldn't spend a little more time on it, but...